The Chatam Sofer was once in middle of Shi'ur with his Talmidim. He was working so hard to resolve a difficulty he had with one of the Rishonim's opinions, offering various interpretations in order to resolve the issue. And one of the Talmidim says, Rabbi, why do you bother with such difficult resolutions? Why not just say that he made a mistake? To which the Chatam Sofer yelled at the Talmid and called him a Chamor! All the little Talmidim burst into laughter. And they didn't realize the Chatam Sofer, as they found out later, was referring to a Gemara. The Gemara says, Ha'im ha-Rishonim kamalachim, anachno kivnei adam. If the Rishonim, those who came before us, are like angels, so then we're like humans. Im ha-Rishonim kivnei adam, if the Rishonim are like people, so then anachno kachamorim, then we're like chamorim. The Ben Ish Chai explains, as do many others, that it's relative to our perspective. If we realize that those who came before us had a mastery of Torah that is unimaginable in comparison to ours, then we realize that what's difficult to us was not difficult to them. And they said what they said for a reason. And we have to toil in order to truly understand the Torah that they gave us, that they processed for us, in order to teach us a lesson, whatever it may be. The 25th of the Kinyanei Torah is Hamakir et Mikomo, a person who knows his place. He knows his strengths and weaknesses, his value, and his place in the Mesorah. He doesn't try to shove his way into where he doesn't belong, or express his view in front of those who are greater than him. He has a profound sense of respect and understanding the greatness of those who came before him. He doesn't rush to deny the statements in the Torah of those who came before him. The Chazon Ish writes in one of his letters that it used to be that when a mechaber, a writer, would write the word b'mechila mikol torato as an introduction to arguing with somebody, he would ask for forgiveness. It used to come from a profound and deep sense of kavod for the person he was about to disagree with. Nowadays, the Chazon Ish laments, it's just a license to kill. Whereas really, we should all approach it the way that Yerushalmi says, that when we want to disagree with somebody, we should pretend, we should see, imagine the Baal Shem Ra, the person who said those words, is standing in front of us. Would you really call him an idiot if he was standing right in front of you? Would you really say he was wrong and didn't know what he was talking about if he was standing right in front of you? The Sefer Chasidim says further, that defending somebody gets a person a grand welcome in Shamayim after Mea Vesim Shana. And the gadol that one defended will accompany him to the Beit Din Shamala and be Melitz Yosher for a person's din v'cheshbon. Whereas arguing on somebody doesn't get you any schar like that in Shamayim. It just causes the victim in Shamayim to be reeling in pain. And more than that, it can hurt us. The Vilna Gaon quotes a Gemara in Menachot about Rabbi Tarfon, who was once giving a shiur, and one of the Talmidim asked a murderous question on Rabbi Tarfon, and it killed him. Not literally, but it killed the shiur. Rabbi Tarfon did not have an answer, he was wrong. This Talmid started having a gleeful look on his face. And Rabbi Akiva looks at the Talmid, he's like, why are you so happy? You're not going to have Arichut Yamim for trumping the Rebbe? What, it's a mitzvah to kill the Rebbe? And then the Gemara says that it wasn't much longer, a few months, and the Talmid was no longer with us. The Vilna Gaon says further that, based on the Zohar, that a person's entrance to Yeshiva Shalmala can be delayed because he asked too many questions just to kill his Rebbe. The Chidah writes how we have to be so careful, not just in our speaking and asking questions and learning, but also in our writing. A person writes a ma'amar, a Torani, he writes an article, he writes a teshuvah, he shouldn't pounce and kill his prey. Because he might be wrong. And for it, he will be punished in Shamayim. Therefore, the Peleoitz recommends that a person shouldn't argue outright. He should just say his piece, and then write, Od Ayin in the other Sefer. He should look in that other Sefer. And then the person who's learning will know. He'll look up the other thing, and notice how it's against what I just wrote, the Machaber just wrote, and he'll understand. And the Habocher Yivacher, the person who's reading, the reader should decide what he thinks is the Emet. But don't sit there and scream that other people are wrong. It's not worth your time. It's pretty dangerous, in fact. And more than that, it's not just about arguing and attacking. It's about knowing one's place. That means that if a person finds himself in the presence of Gidolim Mimenu, he shouldn't be saying his own logic and svarot and opinions, expressing his thoughts, when there are people who are much more qualified to state an opinion than he is. Sometimes a person will come and ask a Shechter a Shaila, and me sitting right next to him will feel the urge to say, state my opinion. Whereas the right thing to do is to wait until afterwards, hear what Rav Shechter says, and then when the person leaves, say, well, Rabbi, I didn't understand. What about this, that, and the other thing? And then, you know, if you do that, maybe you'll find out. You'll learn a thing or two that he didn't know before. Pasuk says in Mishlei, Uvimkom Gedolim Al Ta'amod, you shouldn't stand up and voice your opinions in front of those who are greater than you. A person has to know his ma'alot and his chesronot. If a person thinks that he's perfect, explains the Maharal, and if he thinks that he's so shalem, then he won't see his shortcomings in himself or his learning, and therefore he won't invest in his learning the same way. Whereas if he realizes his lowliness, number one, it means he's ra'ui to accept Torah, to be mekabel Torah, and he also will know that he has to improve, and he'll work harder to improve. Because he'll see the shortcomings in his learning. He won't make as many mistakes. The Gemara tells us how Rabbi Meir went to go learn by Rabbi Akiva. Can you imagine? Rabbi Akiva is the greatest Tana in the world. And Rabbi Meir finally worked his way to the yeshiva Rabbi Akiva. He's entering the shiur of Rabbi Akiva. And he gets into the shiur and he doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't understand. So what does Rabbi Meir do? He doesn't stay. He leaves. He leaves to go to Rabbi Ishmael's shiur. And he spends some time there. And then when he's ready to leave Rabbi Ishmael's shiur, then he's ready to climb up to the shiur of Rabbi Akiva. A person who has to know his nikon, he knows where he belongs in his learning. Not everyone belongs in Rav Shechter's shiur. Not everyone belongs in Rav Eliel ben Chaim's shiur. A person who just comes straight out of Israel, you know, jumps into one of these shiurim, thinks he's ready for it, it's not necessarily true. I can tell you, for being shiur assistant for 3 years, and in shiur for more than that, that not everyone who walks into shiur should stay. Some people realize that very quickly and they leave. Other people, unfortunately, don't realize that. They stay for too long, and they waste precious potential time that they had to grow in their Torah learning. A person has to know where he belongs, what his position is in the ladder of Torah learning. You know, they say in yeshiva also for Rosenzweig's shiur that it's not the right place, or I've heard from many rabbis, it's not the right place for a first-year guy to go. But I'm just repeating what I've heard from other people. A person has to know what shiur he belongs in so he can work his way up and learn at each step of the way. And it also comes with a sense of kavod, a sense of anava, a person who knows what he's set for, you know, will accomplish more. Rabbi Ovadia was the dayan, associate dayan in the Beit Din in Petach Tikva after much pressure from Reuven Katz to take the position in the first place, who was the Av Beit Din of Reuven Katz, the Degel Machaneh Reuven. And after a few years, Rav Ovadia was an associate dayan in Petach Tikva. Rabbi Katz turns to Rav Ovadia out of the clear blue sky and says, I want you to take over. I'm going to leave the Beit Din. I want you to be the Av Beit Din. Just like that. You've only been working there for 3 years and he's already promoted to the top. Rav Ovadia turns to him. He's like, what? Rav Yisrael Sapir has been here for 20 years. He's another Chaver Beit Din. He should be the Av Beit Din. What am I? I'm just a fresh dayan. It's not right for me to take the position. And even though Rav Katz pushed and pushed and pushed, this time Rav Ovadia said, no. You got me to take the job as an associate dayan, fine. But I'm not Rawi. I don't deserve to take the position as Av Beit Din. And even though Rabbi Katz was unhappy with it, Rav Ovadia didn't give in. And because of that, when a spot opened up on Rav Eliezer Waldenberg's Beit Din, Rav Ovadia was able to take it. That's how you see, Makir Mekomo, a person has to have so much humility and not so much gaiva. He has to have derech eretz and understanding where he's holding and how to open his mouth, if he's even allowed to, when it comes to Torah learning and with respect to those who are greater than him. In another sense, outside of the relationship with those who are greater than him, the Makir Mekomo has various interpretations amongst the Mefarshim, whether it be Lilmod, Lilamed, Lishmor, or La'asot. In terms of learning, in terms of Lilmod, a person has to learn b'makom shelibo chafetz. He has to know where does he want to learn. If he wants to learn something else and he's learning this, then he's going to have a problem. He's not going to be able to focus on his learning because he's going to want to be learning a different topic the entire time. And more than that, he has to know the makor. He has to know the makom of every din that he is learning. And very interestingly, according to one girsan, the Gemara in Berachot, hakoviya makom litorato oivav noflim lefanav. A person who sets a space, that sets a place for his Torah learning, his enemies will fall before him. The Meiri explains, when a person has a set place, a set makom in the Beit HaMidrash, which Baruch Hashem and our yeshiva we all do, and Shnei Yisket to be back in our mikomot. He has a set makom in the Beit HaMidrash. He'll learn with a clearer head, he'll accomplish more, he'll remember more, and he'll trump those who debate him. That's what it means, oivav noflim lefanav. And the Gemara Pesachim quotes the Pasuk in Yishayahu that Mekomov HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Lefnei Hashem. Mekomov HaTalmid is Lefnei Hashem. A person has a makom of learning, he's in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he's in the Arba Amot of Halacha. This is a Halacha in Shulchan Aruch. In Siman Kuf Nun Hei, in Siv Aleph, the Rama writes how a person must have a makom kavua for his Torah learning. And whether we be in the Beit Midrash these days or still at home, a person should make sure he sets up a makom, sets up a row of Svarim with some bookends. And this is the space that he learns in every day, every night. However many hours a day that he has to learn, this is his Gemara, his Chumash, his Mishnayot, his Shulchan Aruch, whatever he's learning, should all be right there. So he has his makom. Whether it's even if it's not in yeshiva anymore, he has his makom. That will lend so much success to his Torah learning. Now those who also say, Rav Salman Butsafi says, how a person should learn in a place that's established and attended by Sadiqim. The zechut of those Sadiqim brings extra zechut to his Torah learning. Now that's Lilmod. Comes to Lilamed, a person has to know his audience. Rav Ovadia used to make sure whenever he started a shiur, before he walked in, he would ask the person who organized it, what level of audience is this? Are these lay people? Are they Bnei Yeshiva? Are they adults who are, you know, Gedolei Yisrael, Talmidei Chachamim, or Hamon Am? And he would attune his shiur to the level of the audience. If a person isn't giving a message that's relatable and content that's understandable to the audience, it's not going to help his Torah learning or their Torah learning. If he wants to grow in his teaching skills and his impact on others, he has to make sure that he is speaking to his audience on their level. And in place of our observance of Torah mitzvot, lishmor v'la'asot, the person has to makir mekamo, not that this isn't his makom. He has to know that his true place is in Olam Haba. And if the Yetzirah tries to cajole him into focusing on this world instead, he has to yaskir lo yom hamita, like the Gemara says. I have to remember, yakir mekomo, know where you belong, it's not right here, it's not in this world, this world is just a step, it's a hallway, it's a prosdor, corridor into the next world. And the makom in Gan Eden, the potential that we have to reach a certain thing, how beautiful it is, a person has to know what he can accomplish. He has to know what he can accomplish, and he has to work hard in order to achieve it. Finally, I'll add that a person has to understand, even though he's in Galut, in his own home, confined and quarantined, wherever he may be, he has to truly understand that Mekomoz on Chutz La'aretz, it's in Eretz Yisrael, Arsenu HaKedosha, where Avir the Aramachim, the air, the atmosphere of the land, induces a person with Chochmah, and that Chochmah, Chochmat Adam Ta'ir Panav, it'll illuminate his face with Yediyat Hashem, and Mezad Hashem bring us to the Gula so much sooner.